just have each of you, starting with you, to state your name. And if you don't mind, to tell us your birthday.
I forgot my letter like that.
That's okay.
I don't know if you have me as Sarah or Sally.
Well, which is right?
Well, Sarah is my real name.
Okay.
That's how we have you.
Okay.
We know her as Sally, though.
Well, how do you want it to be?
So? Sarah's fine.
Okay.
And I was born January the 9th, 1924, in Wichita, Kansas.
You just had a birthday.
I did.
If you still celebrate those, I guess. You just had a birthday.
I do, because I had a great grandson born on my birthday 2 years ago.
Well, that's all right. And where were you born?
Wichita, Kansas.
Okay. Guess you get to be next.
I'm Tressie Hathaway. And I was born in the country here in 1914. So I'm 10 years old.
Virginia Wise. I was born in Kenton, Oklahoma, January the 26th, 1927.
We went out to Kenton yesterday. I'd never been out there. That's pretty. Yeah.
It's real surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I told Steve, I said, this doesn't even look like the same country. How can this be right next to each other? It doesn't make any sense. Well, we'll just kind of start with just real general, a typical day. You might want to start with where you live. Was it on a farm or in town? And then just what was your typical day like in the 1930s around the Dust Bowl? Just whoever wants to jump in, go first.
Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
My folks had a variety store here, and my sister was here yesterday. So.
Oh yeah.
So, we lived in the back room, which wasn't near as big as this area. And what we played with was the boxes that merchandise came in.
Uh-huh.
We made houses because they had great big boxes then. And we skated because there was concrete in front of the store. And of course, we walked to school and walked home. And some of the games that you asked this that we played, I remember one of them that I really liked was Kick the Can and Run. And then we played Black Man and Red Rover, come over, you know.
I'm trying to remember any stories she told on you.
That'd be your chance.
I thought there was something.
Oh, back.
Yeah, she told some good ones. That good. So surely you can think of something.
You'll have to tell us something.
Well, my mother taught music lessons, taught piano. And so we couldn't stay in that room very much. We had to go outside or go into the store. And, of course, when the dirt was blowing, we didn't play out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Even at school, we didn't. We stayed inside.
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar to the you two, I guess.
I can remember when I was in grade school, we were having quite a dirt storm. I had to go over to the high school for something. And there was a barbed wire fence around the high school. And I ran into the fence and I had scars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did. Close your eyes.
What was a typical day like for you? What would have been the first thing you did when you got up in the morning?
Well, when I was a kid, we lived in a dugout.
Yeah.
When I was a baby, you know, when I was a little girl, I think I was about, I don't know, maybe six. My folks built an adobe house.
Uh-huh.
And so when we lived in this dugout, I had three brothers and me. And then I had a baby sister. And I know the kids told me that, or my uncle teased me, said my mother had a little black baby, and they couldn't get me to go down in the dugout because I didn't want to go see that black baby.
And so this is when your little sister was born?
Yes.
Anyway, oh, my gosh.
Well, I was pretty young then. I was 4 years older than her. But anyway, we lived in that till I was about 6 or 8, maybe, I don't know. And then we moved into the Dobie house. It was a really nice house because we lived in that dugout so long. And the folks, the Mexicans, made the Dobies for us. And then they laid them. And then we had a carpenter do the finishing work on the inside. And we just lived there. And my mother had a garden. My dad raised broom corn and he raised maize. And they had to do all their farm work with horses. And we had some really nice big horses. And I can't think of anything. But anyway, we went to a country school. We had to walk to school, which was one time it was about a mile north of our house. Mm-hmm. And they moved it over on the southwest of us, about 2.5 miles. Mm-hmm. And we walked to school in nice weather. And my dad finally got a Model T truck. And so when the weather was bad, he'd take us to school in a Model T truck. Mm-hmm. And anyway, things went along pretty smooth until, well, we had, my dad had a good crop every year, and we got along just fine. And then when the drought struck, well, then we couldn't raise anything. It just wouldn't rain. My mother had a garden out with a well where she could water it. And even that, the sand blowed, you know, it wasn't too successful.
You mentioned a little bit earlier that your dad had hired hands helping with the broom corn.
Yes.
When the broom corn business was going on, how about how many hands did he have working for?
Oh, well, we had about 10, probably.
So several.
Yeah, anyway, we had room and board them, you know.
Yeah.
And had to cook for them. I helped my mother cook when I was there, when I was at school. She usually hired a girl to help her. She usually got a Mexican girl to help her. Well, once she had one of the only girls to help her cook for the hired hands. Mm-hmm. And anyway, there was a lot of dishes to wash, too. I got in on some of that, too.
Did you have to wash or dry or put away? Those were the three at our house. That would be the three separations, and nobody wanted to put away.
And then we had a separator. We had the separator of milk, you know, churn her butter and all that junk. Then, after the dirt started blowing, why? They didn't have anything for the cows to eat. And they had to sell their cows, and some of them died, you know. And it was just hard times, I tell you. And after I started high school, I had to work for my room and board in town so I could go to school. And then when I was a senior, it was 1932, I got married that year and moved to town with my in-laws.
And how was that?
Well, it wasn't very good because they had a bunch of kids, you know. And then I started having family, too, and I had a couple of children while we lived up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was pretty rough. We didn't seem like we worried much. We had parties, play parties, And we'd have card party. We'd play pinochle and pitch. And it didn't seem to worry me much about the groceries and stuff then. We'd clean dirt every day.
Yeah. I've heard people talk about you had to take a paintbrush to clean the dirt out of the windows. And
yeah.
What kind of tools did you guys use to clean?
You know, my dad, I think he bought one of the first, it was an Electrolux sweeper to clean the store with, you know, the bins in the store and we at the house too. But that was probably in about 1936, I think.
We just swept and then we'd dust, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember after Bob was born, my second baby, I got up that one morning and cleaned dirt from out from behind my bed. And I had a water bucket, and I had about that much dirt in that bucket.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it was terrible.
Well, how about you, Ms. Weiss? What was it?
Well, I'll start with Kenton, because that's where I was born. That one dust storm that hit, the very first one, we really thought it was the end of the world. Because it was just a rolling over the Black Mesa, and we had Miss Cochran and Miss Collins, well, all of them, you know, Miss Freeman, all of them, we all prayed. Of course, us kids, you know, we were small, and we thought, okay, everybody was lighting candles and crying. So we really thought that was the end of all of us.
It's funny, because when I saw Kenton for the first time, I thought it was the end of the world.
And I loved it, because that's where I was raised.
It's beautiful there.
I've got a question. When I saw Kenton, I was about 87, I think, when I first drove through there. I thought, who in their right minds would start a town right here? What was the main business when the town, do you remember when it first started up? What was ranching?
Mainly,
Yeah, you can't farm out there.
And then,
it was the county seat at one time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Really? And then, a lot of them work on the road, you know, with their mules. They didn't even have anything to work with, machinery or anything.
Hello.
You know. And then Mr. Drennan was under these mules neighbor. And just grade the road, you know, how they done it. I remember that.
Okay. She didn't have pigtails, so you just have to pull her short hair.
Well, I better not. She's one of my neighbors that keeps tagging me and says, I need what I need.
In 36, I think.
There's another one.
Yeah. I'm going to set your purse right here beside you, okay?
And that's when it really started getting bad.
And how come, why'd you move from Kenton to Boise City?
Yes. It goes way back. My grandpa owned the house there, and it was kind of like a farm, but it was in town. And we had a well, had our own water, and he had horses and two milk cows that I can remember, and chickens and all that. And like she said, after it got pretty bad, we wouldn't get no rain or anything. Why? From what I hear, Sally, I don't know if this is true or not, the government came in, and I remember they shot one of our cows. Shot one of our cows.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
There was no grass, well, nothing, you know, to feed them.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I remember we all cried over that cow. And the dust storms started right in when we moved to Boise City. Went to school, my brother and I, and he protected me, Benny.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't have made it, because I cried all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He'd just take me under his coat and, you know, leave me to the school and back.
Oh, goodness.
And I remember Mother, when I got home, putting wet towels on the windows where the dirt was that thick coming in. And I don't know how many times she'd clean off the table before we could sit down to eat. And it was that black dirt. So it was pretty rough on us.
They would wet sheets and put over the windows too, you know,
yeah,
hang them up like
too.
A curtain.
Yeah, they...
this is Fairchild, and you're kind of getting in right at the right time. Yes. Just in time for you.
Well, let's see. Now, you look so familiar. Do I know you from way back when?
Well, something? I don't think so. I don't know.
You ever watch America's Most Wanted?
Well, I'll tell you, in our house, my TV was kind of on the blink, and I was just real sad, Gail brought me. Where'd she go to?
She probably went back to the front.
Well, anyway, she went over, started it up, and she's doing okay. So,
yeah. That's a good deal.
She worked on your television.
Mm-hmm. I'm very unmechanical. Yeah. Some people are mechanical. Unmechanical.
Well, they already all had to do this to say their name and their birthday and where they were born. So we'll let you do that.
Well, my name was Margaret Louise Webb, and then my married name is Fairchild.
Okay.
I didn't even give my name.
You don't want us to know, do you?
And I was born between here and Guymon, about 45 miles, and then about a mile and a half down in it's a pasture now. That's where I was born on February 4th, 1919. And I was number 11 of our family, but two had passed away in infancy. And the dirty 30s to me, our folks, they were the people that didn't dwell much on the bad. There's always some good around, you know. So I remember I was, after we would get through with the supper, well, I would do the dishes. And I would hurry through and go, and we had what we called the day bed. You can tell them about the day bed, can't you? which was a couch deal in the living room. And I'd crawl over behind and crawl underneath an Indian blanket. And boy, by the time those dishes, everybody's through, I was just sound asleep. But I really wasn't. I was...
You were playing possum.
I was playing possum. Well, we had a fella from Arkansas. We called him, what did we call him? He could tell some of this, all sorts of stories. Some of them scary and some of them just right down funny. And one night, the men would come in and they would sit around until bedtime. And then these hard men all slept out in the garage, I think. I'm not right sure on that. But anyway, a guy from Arkansas told a real funny story, and I laughed. And needless to say, that was the end of getting out of helping with the dishes.
The possum woke up, didn't it?
That's right.
And we have, in our family, the place where my folks filed on when they came from Virginia, and in the place where they bought and moved to later, those places are still in the family.
Okay. Miss Weiss, you were saying that you were really scared and crying, and your brother was taking care of you. Was that during, because you were scared of the dust?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's kind of scary to see something like
that. Yeah, it is.
Oh, you ought to have seen it in Kenton. That was over that Black Mesa. We really thought that was it. And then one time several times. But this one time, Benny and I, we thought it was going to be a real beautiful day. Started out that way. And then when we got out of school, it was one of the worst ones I ever did see. Yeah. And we were going by this house, Mama's neighbor. Her name was Miss Wright. And she was caring for her husband. He was real sick. And it was a tin house. Do you remember that? And the roof was tin, and so was the siding. Mm-hmm. Anyway, some of that roof blew off, and it went over my head. Barely missed me. So that was worse on me. Benny had to drag me home almost. And he told Mama, said she almost got hit by this tin roof. So we really did go through a lot of those death storms.
I was looking at when you were born, you would have been 7 or 8, mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8, and that's pretty young to have all that going on.
Oh, yes, I didn't think I'd ever
I cried all the time because I was scared to death of them dust storms.
Do you ever have like nightmares or anything about dust?
Well, I got up a lot at night, Mama said, and cried, but that didn't mean nothing because that's the way I always did.
Anyway, yeah.
I didn't want to go to school in the dust storms, but Benny would say, I'll take care of you. And he did. He'd wait for me after school. He never left my side or I'd never made it without him.
He's my neighbor now.
I know, but he really took care of me.
Well, so would you say that you lived in I posed each of you in the country or in town?
I lived in town.
I lived about 7.5 miles, well, 8 miles northwest.
Okay.
I lived in the country, and then when I started the high school, we'd go into town and stay in a rooming house and then home during the weekends. And I had a lot of fun in high school. Our house mother didn't have very much fun, I don't think.
So what were you doing for fun in high school, Mrs. Fairchild?
Oh, we would, I just tried to think some of the things. The college girls, see, there were high school girls and college girls in the same rooming house. And the woman that had the house had a daughter. So we would... these high school kids would make a lot of noise. We would sing. Some of us could sing. I couldn't, but some of them could sing pretty good. And Mrs. Oxley would come to the top of the stairs and say, Sadie, come home. That was her daughter. And the rest of you girls be quiet. The college girls are trying to study. And so anyway... years later, I came out here as home demonstration agent, and I thought at that time you're supposed to be at least act like you've grown. And the four of those college girls were out and felt, and I know them to this day, and they're nice people, but anyway, I'll never forget. You girls be quiet. The college girls are trying to study. We had enough time in school that we could do our studying. Yeah.
You went to Goodwill.
To Goodwill High School. It was down at. It was at the where the high school is now, mm-hmm. Not at the college. But my sisters that were older, they went up when it was at the college, and someone else that went there that you know is Grover Smith, mm-hmm. and Mary. I call her Mary Magnol. Everybody. Mm-hmm. She laughed one time and said, you're the only person who puts that mag on there. Said, I'm just marrying all everybody else. But she didn't seem to object, so.
What were some of the things that you did for fun to entertain yourselves?
You mean like games?
Yeah.
I was like Sally. We used to play black man tag and... Uh-huh. Break the whip or something. Crack the whip.
Oh, I've heard of that game. Mm-hmm.
And that was fun, but I got hurt.
I bet you did.
And then I started crying again.
If you were that last one.
They called me crybaby all the time. Like I said, if it hadn't been for my brother, I would have never made it.
When we were teenagers, we had play parties.
Those play parties.
Had that's fun it. Doing that.
What'd you do there?
We'll just play. We'd sing a game, you know, play
skip,
party
skip,
games.
Skip the blues, skip.
Oh, I remember. Now, that was when Margaret was... I remember Margaret coming in saying that sang a lot of songs.
Now,
that was
we,
my sister.
In our family, there was different standards for the boys and the girls. Now, we could go to the play parties, but we couldn't go to the square dances. That's the girls. But the boys could go to the square dancing. Was it that way in yours?
No.
It wasn't?
We all just did what we...
Did one, together.
What one did, the rest of them did.
When we'd have throwing parties at the gym, I think. Everybody would make like so many gallons of hot chocolate. Yeah. Others brought the apples and big tubs.
Yeah.
Dipped the apples in there. What'd you call that, Sally? you get in there and try to bite the apples.
Yeah.
Okay, let's like see. Bobby?
Yeah. Bobby Pratt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there were our parents right after us, you know, they wouldn't. And like boys and girls get together, and we were like 12 or 13. We really had to, we'd go to the drugstore and have a Coke or something, but our parents had to see where we were at all the time. My mother and daddy were real strict. So I didn't even get to date till I was 17. I did go to show, but I had to be home at a certain time.
We used to go out the hills on picnics lots of times on Sunday, you know, after church. That was one of the things that, you know, the highlights that we got to do. Or sometimes would have a cookout out in the country.
Mm-hmm. What'd you fix for your cookout?
Oh, they'd have steak and potatoes.
Okay, that sounds
good stuff.
Got a little better there.
That was about it, I think. But
at the end of school, we'd go to on picnics. Mm-hmm. And either some of the parents would take us out to Cy Strong's ranch. We thought that was great. Took a sack lunch. Mm-hmm. And we'd get to wade in the water. And we thought that was great. That was our entertainment.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell a Cy Strong?
C-Y.
C-Y.
Made strong.
That was a big place where nearly all the, at the end of school, everybody went on picnics.
Mm-hmm. It's about 12 miles or so north, just almost straight north of town. Mm-hmm.
What made it so neat?
It had a little river.
Oh,
had a
little river.
Water.
Water. Yes.
We got to see a little water there.
Now I have a question. Can you still go from Kenton, go to the dinosaur path, and then go north a little ways, ford the river, and then get over on the north side, and then go down to down through Coulter's and do that way? Hit the road north of town.
You can, I think.
Well, you can still do that.
Go across Watson Crossing.
Uh-huh. I was wondering about that.
Hasn't been too long since I did that.
Mm-hmm. And then I was going to tell you, when Sally said what she, her toys she played
alpha,
with.
Alpha.
Mother, she made me a rag doll. Uh-huh. And I mean, she drew the eyes and everything. Braided with something, put the little braids on the doll. And that's what we got for Christmas. And we thought that was great. Huh. And Benny wanted a little guitar. That was my brother. Finally, we got him one. Mm-hmm. But at least that was bought. Mine wasn't.
Yeah.
Mine was homemade. Hmm. She put little booties on my doll, and I thought that was great.
Mm. You still have it?
No.
Keep it.
And with my kids, I always got them, both of them, something. But I don't think it was so much their idea as it was mine. You know?
Probably.
Well, you mentioned you got your doll for Christmas. How did you celebrate Christmas? Did you have a tree? What did you do? What was Christmas like at that time?
We went to the Methodist church in Kitten because they didn't have a Catholic church there. And they had a big tree, Christmas tree, all decorated. And there were our goodies. It was oranges, apples, candy, and nuts. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't wait to go there. We didn't have a Christmas tree. We'd all go there. Uh-huh. A lot of the neighbors, we got all our gifts there. That's when Mama put my little doll in there.
Okay, so she put your doll in with the stuff you were getting at church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I don't know why they done that, but a lot of them there in Kenton did, you know.
Because Santa Claus brought it?
Santa Claus, I guess.
What about for you guys?
Well, we always, after the folks closed the store on Christmas Eve, we'd go to my grandmother's at Wichita, Kansas, drive all night. And they had a big coal stove, you know, and my aunt always had that going, so it was warm when we got there. But that's what I remember.
Now, my grandmother had a stove just like that, because I remember.
That's yours.
I think up at the top, didn't you keep things warm up there? Mm-hmm.
I grew up with chairs like these, only they weren't painted red.
Have you been up here and looked around, Louise, lately?
Not, I don't know.
It's really nice. I like it.
It did a lot.
Well, did you guys know people who left when the dust storm started, that friends or family that moved?
Yeah, yes. A lot of people left.
Oh, there was quite a few. That
Some of them came back when we got over having dirt storms. Mm-hmm.
I remember my uncle who built a lot of houses that are still in good condition up at Hugoton. Times got bad, and they decided to go to California. And they came by and spent the night with us, and it was my uncle and aunt, and I believe they had three children. Then his son, by his first marriage, and his wife, and two children. And they all went to California in one car. I don't know how they made it, but they made it through just fine. You know.
Probably touring
car. And there wasn't any motels to stop at.
No, there wasn't any. And
I imagine probably there were 8 or 10 kids out of my class that their folks left here. And some of them went to Colorado, and some went to New Mexico. And several went to California or Oregon. I don't know of any that went to Washington.
And some of them went to Arkansas.
Arkansas, yeah, that's
right. Why did you and your family stay? You guys had the store.
We had a business. Well, we did leave for about a year, but then we came back.
I guess because we were farmers and couldn't leave.
Well, that was my family. You had to have something. You go to California, you couldn't go just get up and leave.
Yeah,
so we just didn't have enough to ever go. And
we couldn't have worked on the fruit or anything like the people out there did.
It was like that movie. Did you see that movie, The Grapes of Wrath? Mm-hmm. That brought back memories.
Mm-hmm. It sure did.
Didn't it?
We weren't quite that bad off, but pretty near. I wasn't very old then, and I really didn't know about things being as bad as they really were, I don't think. Mm-hmm. You know, we just thought each day, and I remember Red, that's my brother that lives in Four Corners, the dirt would come in, you know, and we had an oilcloth tablecloth. Mm-hmm. And Red would go around, and he would, we would take our finger and make a heart, and then we'd say, Red's name is Floyd, plus, you know, some girl that was a way to tease each other about her boyfriends and her girlfriends. And then I know when we set the table, we always cleaned the table off, but we turned the plates down.
Mama done that too.
And I think we put the silverware underneath the plate, but I'm not sure on that. But anyway, I was as happy as a lark, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything was fine as far as I was concerned.
Well, I didn't worry.
Uh-huh. I don't guess I did either.
I was old enough, I should have had sense enough to worry, but I didn't.
I remember the day of the black dirt storm, we'd been to matinee that afternoon. And we went home, and my brother and a friend of his was going to go frog hunting or whatever they did with their BB gun. But the folks saw this cloud, so the boys didn't leave. But, boy, it was something. Mama had played for a funeral that afternoon. And
was that the Shaw funeral? Was Shaw, baby? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Guy was buried that day.
Oh, he was.
On the day and they always said that, well, you probably heard this too, on that dust storm that showed the picture, they thought sure that was his face on the...
Oh.
Said there was a face of an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now that's, you know, of course they were real religious.
It's probably in this picture.
Mr. and Miss Guy lived about three blocks from
there's
where we lived.
Of it right up there. Okay.
And they'd go right by our house.
Okay.
And he always had a Bible in his hand, and she did too. She wore a bonnet, long dress. Huh. And he read the Bible going in to get his groceries at a store in Kenton and back. He never did close that Bible. And she was right there with him.
And this was the man that had died on the day.
Mm-hmm. He died that day.
Mm-hmm. That day that we had that black dirt storm, Lemoyne, our daughter, had the whooping cough, and we took her up to the to Dr. Ward. He was over the
three rural belly.
Yeah. Anyway, when we came down, it was just as nice, sunshiny. Mm-hmm. And we looked over in the north, and there was that black cloud. We went down there about where the car wash is and back up to the corner to that drugstore and went in, and that stuff had hit. And you couldn't see anything. It was black. And there was a whole bunch of people in that drugstore. They got to shooting paper wads, all got to acting silly. I guess it's a good thing. We didn't work that way so much.
And it lasted up into the night. It's about 4 o'clock when it hit.
See, we didn't have electricity. We just had the coal of the lamps.
We didn't go home to it.
And we lit our little candles. Of course, like I said, we're Catholic. We believed in, every one of us kneeled down and said prayers and held hands. I can't remember, two of the neighbors came over, but it wasn't Miss Cochran, it was somebody else. I can't call their names, I forgot. And they joined us in prayer. Because there I was crying, of course.
Yeah.
And it was scary. It was terrible.
I guess I'm kind of hard shelled or something. It didn't scare me.
Oh, it does. Well, see over the black, you can imagine over that black mesa, the clouds rolling.
I was in the back end of a truck, and we had a blanket, and we stuck our heads under it, and it was black. Now,
you couldn't see
the guy that I was sitting next to had on a shirt.
Like night.
White shirt. Oh, I didn't, you couldn't see the color of his shirt for a while.
It's probably gray after that.
So you spent the tattletale story in the back of the truck. Huh?
Yeah, that's true. We did on a rabbit drive. Now that's another story.
Yeah, tell me about the rabbit drive.
To me, the rabbit drive wasn't too.
I didn't like that. I went to one of them.
What it was, they thought that the rabbits was eating up all the grass, and they needed it for the livestock.
Oh, they were thick.
And they would build a fence in one corner of the, and with a wire that rabbits couldn't get through, with mesh, didn't we call it mesh wire? And then you would take and go, you'd drive all the rabbits to that way. And then when you got there, you just took a something
club,
club, and clubbed them, and you, I think if you took their rabbits, I mean their ears, didn't we get 20 cents for each pair? Or
I think it was a nickel.
A nickel, was it a nickel? It's probably better, right? But you know that was a social thing to go film that rabbit down, especially if you had a boyfriend.
I went, but I didn't go again. That one time was enough.
I think once or twice is all I have.
Club them rabbits.
Do you guys participate or just watch?
I just watched.
Well, I did too. I didn't club it.
I did too, just watch. And
it's the boys mostly that did the clubbing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You said it was a big deal to go if you had a boyfriend. Were you cheering him on?
Well, you know, you'd walk with your boyfriend and you'd talk, and But anyway. I don't know. Sometimes I had a boyfriend, sometimes I didn't. Usually I didn't. But I was kind of unique. I had two brothers that were near my age, and any time I wanted to go anywhere and they had a date, well, I just went along with them. So I didn't have to stay at home because I didn't have a boyfriend. But some of the girls did and didn't have any brothers. And
Well, changing our subject a little bit, and we've heard some people talk about tramps and hobos that came through town. Anybody have any remembrances of that, coming by your house and knocking on the door or anything?
I can remember when the gypsies would come to town.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I was in on some of that gypsies in Kenton. My grandpa would have a big garden, And Mother said that my grandma felt sorry for the women because they were in there trying to sell all the pottery or jewelry they had. Mm-hmm. And she'd fix like homemade bread. She always made that. And different things, you know, she would give them to eat. And while the women were in there, the men would go to the garden and clean out, just mm-hmm. clean the garden up. They just stole everything. They'd just load up and take all the vegetables and whatever they had.
Folks, if they heard the gypsies were coming, they'd close the store.
Yeah.
But my grandmother, she was so kind-hearted. She didn't have the heart to, because the little kids would bake for bread or something. Huh. But that was because the men were busy stealing out the garden.
Oh, well.
And there was quite a few gypsies that came mm-hmm. But I was afraid of them.
Yeah.
I heard big old earrings, and the men looked kind of scary.
How did they travel?
In covered wagons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or that's when I...
That's the way I remember it, too. Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that. I was scared.
Did your parents ever tell you stories to stay away from the gypsies to try to scare you? Or they didn't need to, huh?
Well,
not me. I was already scared.
But I figured that if they was locking up the store, I'd better stay in. Mm-hmm.
See, I had never thought about gypsies being in the Panhandle, Oklahoma.
Well, they did hit Kenton pretty bad, because you could see them in the wagons.
Well, they wouldn't get caught out there.
Huh?
They wouldn't get caught out there.
That's right.
Please, really. Nothing
there, I remember one time.
A few houses. And
maybe there were some gypsies. There was some people in a covered wagon park, just camped out by our gate at home, and... Mom would give them chickens to eat once in a while. I don't know how long they stayed there. Maybe a week. But as far as them stealing anything, I don't remember them ever stealing anything.
Well, that's what my mother told me. That they, you know, of course, my grandma would give them food because she felt sorry for them. But then the men would get out and go in the garden and steal all the cups.
Huh. Did you all have gardens? Is that...
Not during the dirt storms.
Well,
we couldn't...
We had a well. And my grandpa used to take buckets. That's all he did, take buckets of water and water that. A small garden. It wasn't a very big one. You know, we only had a few tomatoes. I can't really remember. Onions and just a small garden. But I remember, we didn't have holes in those days, did we? Because I remember them big wooden buckets he would carry and water the garden. And I don't remember the well going dry. Maybe it did. We had a well.
But we never did. Well, we just couldn't raise garden. The dirt blowed, you know.
Cover things up.
Yeah.
Did you ever have anything that you lost in the dirt, like a... heard people say their wash tubs would get buried in the dirt. Have to wait till the wind blew the dust off again to find them.
Well, I know the fences were all covered.
I remember that. I think I got pictures of some of them.
Yes.
They were just up to the top.
Weeds would blow up, the tumbleweeds catching the fences, then the dirt.
They're good. Catching it.
We used to go fishing up at Two Buttes. This was after that, though. Mm-hmm. And the dirt was over the fences, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, out here about, I guess, 8 miles west, my brother had a field, and the dirt was piled up in the fence rows, and he dug that fence rows out, and there was about 3 or 4 fences on one on top of the other out there under that dirt. Of course, he bought the fence, bought the land after the dirt storms. But that was really
instead
a job.
Instead of uncovering the fences, they just built new ones on top.
They just built one on top.
That's funny.
I know out to where our farm is, there was a dispute one time as to who owned, you know, the difference between the two quarters.
Yeah.
And they got to looking in, and one fellow had, after the dirt storms and all, he had
had a machine, a tractor or something that could, take those all that dirt away. And so that was the deal, where the fence line was. Where he took all that dirt away, that was the boundary line, and it's that way to this day. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to have something, because all of the, what you find out down at the courthouse is not always the way it has to be.
Do you remember participating in or helping with any sort of service organizations in town, maybe to collect food or clothing for people in need?
My mother used to work in the courthouse basement, and they sewed. They had about four or five machines, and she sewed for a lot of, made dresses and mm-hmm. blouses and shirts for the needy. And there was quite a few there that worked there.
Anybody else remember?
Well, I was in college at that time, and we had, of course, we had our sewing machines for the regular class. Mm-hmm. And then we sold for the ones at the Western State Hospital, mm-hmm. where that is, the older ones do, I'm sure. And my job, since I'd had some sewing, I was more or less the teacher. I tell you, some of those girls were not interested in making shirts for anybody. And one day we had one girl, and she just always, she entertained. She'd tell some stories. And the president of the college, Morrison, was his name. He was bringing a group in from somewhere. And she was up telling one of her stories. And I was supposed to be more or less the teacher. And here came the president of the college with these people. And he was showing them all over the campus. You know, they're so proud of all the things they were doing over there then. And I never will forget that. And I turned around, and there, boy, I got off of that table in a hurry. Then years later, when I was going to Stillwater with the, 4-H, President Morrison always ate at the union. His wife had passed away, and he was always alone, needy, and he would nod as we went by his table.
Do you think there's anything that you were able to do, being young girls, young women at that time, that you were able to do because of the situation of the Dust Bowl and the Depression, that you wouldn't have been able to do otherwise? Do you think there's anything that like, you know, the restrictions on girls being changed because of that? You said you couldn't go to the dances, but you could go to the play party. Mm-hmm. But anything that...
Well, there really wasn't much going on, except play parties and square dancing and dance. Well, we really, we did dance too.
Holy Showalter had that.
Yeah.
Dance hall after.
I couldn't go. I was
younger. And
then
later,
we went to movies.
In Goodstead.
The theater was, I was an usher there for a while. And I went with my brother, Benny, and he walked me home. But we had to be home a certain time. And that was my entertainment, was the movies. I mean, they'd have matinees too, at Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and
Shirley Temple.
And you had to pay a dime to see it?
A dime.
Huh. Well, my mother gave the Oldham girls music lessons, and so we got in free.
Well, like I was telling her, I ushered in there, so I got in free.
Well, you know,
Mr. Phillips had.
Mama gave lots of piano lessons in exchange for eggs or cream or whatever.
When I was in Kenton, I was just, I never was too tall anyway, but Mother decided she wanted to give me some music lessons from Miss Eddie that owned the drugstore in Kenton. So the way she paid her was 2 dozen eggs a week. Mm-hmm.
in exchange for your music lessons. Mm,
that's the way I got my music lessons. But I didn't continue. When I moved to Boise City, I didn't.
What would you say would be your fondest memory then? When you think back?
Yeah. Now, after they started having Pioneer Day over at Guymon, they had it on May the 2nd. That was in celebration of when the Panhandle really became a part of Oklahoma. And they had it a long time. And regardless of what day of the week May the 2nd was, you went Pioneer Day. Then they got, it got commercialized. And
then the boosters would come into Boise City and they'd have a little dance around the square. I remember that. Advertising it in Guymon, because it was a good celebration.
And I haven't taken the time to go over there for several years. I can't say too much about what it is now.
No, it's too wild now. Things have changed.
Well, I think that
the parade's nice.
I remember most is the friends that I still have that I made at that time.
Well, I remember fair time. Oh, that was something. And they had in one of the buildings, one of the first one I always went to, they had each county had a plaque on the wall, about as big as three of those up there. Having all of their crops, the seeds. And then they'd have things down on the table. And that fascinated me. But Cimarron County always had the best. And that was Uncle Bill Baker's idea, And so they were always getting the number one. And then when I worked down at Legion Hall, down at in the courthouse, lo and behold, he had a big trophy, and then you got to keep it, I guess, after three times. Well, in that the little storeroom was a trophy of Uncle Bill's, and I don't know whether it's still down there or not, but somewhere it got banged on one side. And then, too, when I was agent, we had the pressure cookers had just come in.
Mother had one of those.
First time I was agency, I was twice. And that was, you could sign up for a cooker and you could keep it so many days and then you're supposed to bring it back so somebody else could use it. And I don't know whether they're still down there or not.
I don't know either.
And I don't know who has the key to that little storeroom. We had it up at the county clerk's office then, I believe it was, up on the second floor. But anyway.
You said they were supposed to bring it back, kind of like maybe some people didn't bring it back.
Well, they always, sooner or later they got back, and then they had them all over the county, too, and they were heavy. They were big things. Mm-hmm. And when my sister-in-law, after she passed away, well, my kids went over to her house, to kind of straighten things out and find out what they were. And lo and behold, there was one of those great big cookers. And they brought it over to sit in my garage so anyone wanted to know what they looked like.
It's still there.
Or if you want a cat in it. Now, Sally's a good catter, but the cooker's not quite that big. And then another thing I have out there was I guess you'd call it brick, of sod from a sod house that used to be down south of the courthouse. And I think they told
Lawson's?
Me,
Lawson's house?
No, it was it was south of the courthouse, south of on down through Coley's. And they said that Mabry's, the foreman's, lived there, some of the Mabry's. Now, somebody told me that, and I wouldn't say it's true.
Well, Lawson's lived down there in an adobe house. You remember Alice and Margie and Lucille?
It might be the same house, maybe this little lady.
It was just a little.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, those are both. You wouldn't think that. You think they'd be out of dirt? Well, they would.
Well, that's what my folks build their house out of. Adobes. Mm-hmm. They have a farm. Well, they'd put grass roots, you know, in the dobies so they would hold together. Mm-hmm. And they had this farm, and they put this wood or mud in it and let it dry. And then after it get dry, why, they would put ricks, make them in ricks, so they would continue to dry.
My mother and daddy lived in one when Margaret and Benny were born. I wasn't born. And she had dirt floors, she remembered telling me. But somehow or other, they'd get it wet and sweep it, and it just looked real solid, you know, like it wasn't dirt on it at all, you know.
Our house had a wooden floor, but it was made out of adobes.
Mm-hmm. And it was
it's still out there. They put stucco on the outside. My nephew lives in it, Dwayne Hagwood. Mm-hmm. And it's still there.
I think
it's been there a long time.
You'd think the big rains, but we don't get that here, so.
Well,
we have that.
It didn't seem to, but every once in a while they would refresh their mud on the outside, yeah. You know.
Huh.
But now he's got stuccoed.
Well, so what do you think that living through the Dust Bowl, how would that have changed you? So it's something that you carry with you today that you think came from having to deal with that in the 30s?
I think you get kind of tight.
Yeah.
With your money. Because we didn't have much then to spend.
Well, I think we feel thankful every day that
that's why I feel
we aren't in it now.
Yes, we've just lived in the lap of luxury.
Mm-hmm. Just so we don't see them big dust storms.
Mm-hmm. We're liable to if it don't rain.
Yeah, right.
But we haven't had any bad dust storms
not really. Not
have
long time.
I know back in the 50s we had a dirt storm, and they said that the dirt, the wind was as high as it was in the 30s. But the people had learned how to farm, and the dirt wasn't blowing so bad.
The one way is one thing that made the dirt blow. I mean, it didn't hold the ground. It just kind of mushed it up, and then the wind blowed it away.
The one way.
Tillage, what did we call it? Or they, you know, like you said, anyway, I can't think of the term right now.
You had mentioned earlier the coming and killing one of your cows.
I'm pretty sure they did. Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Do you remember that happening with yourself or with other people that you knew?
I just remember hearing about them doing it.
So I was old enough to remember that because we all, Benny and I and Margaret, started crying because, well, she was our pet.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that.
Was that during the Depression?
I think the government paid them so much.
Of course, the Depression was during the Dust Storm, too.
When
they paid so much, but I can't
they paid them so much for those cows.
You know, I don't know what I even knew. But.
Probably not very much either.
No, not much.
Do you remember hearing about WPA programs?
Oh, yeah.
People who work for WPA programs?
My daddy did.
Yeah? And what did he do?
He was working on a road construction. Mm-hmm. And they would pick him up in this pickup and just a canvas over, you know, about four or five men. And they'd wear these red handkerchiefs because they couldn't breathe.
Right.
When Daddy would get down from there, you didn't even know it was Daddy.
Built that
the bridge,
that rock wall around the cemetery.
Yeah.
Well, Daddy was in on that too.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else.
You remember when they used to have the crews that killed the grasshoppers?
Yeah.
Those too.
Huh.
Yes, it cleaned out Daddy's garden one time.
Huh.
We couldn't grow flowers or nothing, and grasshoppers were
there. Jack worked on that, my husband.
I hadn't heard about the grasshoppers, but I have heard people talking about rats, that there was a rat problem.
Here?
Remember that.
Yeah, they said it was here.
I didn't know that.
We didn't to have a rat problem.
Prairie dogs.
Prairie dogs.
Prairie dogs, yes, yeah. Especially in the near the cemetery. They had quite a few.
Well, there's still plenty of them.
I didn't know anything about the rats. Or,
I don't either.
But I remember the grasshoppers.
And you know, recently, Lather Boy got to playing with some dead
predators. He was working.
Was he working?
Yeah, I think he was working.
Anyway, Dr. Wheeler diagnosed him and got the right serum for him and all of that. So that was a feather in Dr. Wheeler's bonnet, too.
What was he doing with prairie dogs?
They were,
He was helping his dad farm.
And
he probably got off of his tractor and did something. And,
they had poisoned prairie dogs. Is that what?
He handled them. And
Then the poison came to him. Mm-hmm. How was the grasshopper killing program conducted, or what was that?
Well, they sprayed them.
They also put sawdust around with grasshopper poison on it.
Hmm. Well, didn't they spray with a spray that's called DDT or something like that?
Probably.
I remember Daddy spraying around.
I didn't remember
and
what they
he had. Wouldn't let us kids around there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he didn't have a very good garden because them grasshoppers were bad. Mm-hmm. Mama tried to raise a few flowers and she didn't have any luck.
I'll tell you a grasshopper story.
DDT, you also put
what was
on
that
cattle.
DDT? Was that?
Isn't that right? Didn't put it on
that's
cattle?
That's entered my mind. I know they sprayed
DDT?
For
I don't know. I never knew of it.
I remember Daddy in great big sprays, you know, and then
and there was some, my husband had one little sack of it out in the garage, and I was always afraid my kids some way would get it. That
yeah,
they never
Mama
did.
Was too. She didn't want us kids.
Probably
around.
Their neighbor girls would get them into it.
Miss Hathaway, tell us your grasshopper story.
It wasn't about this country. It was a long time ago when my grandfather was young. They were somewhere up in the northwest, kind of up in Montana, down in there. And the grasshoppers, they had some tents. And the grasshoppers come and they were just in a black cloud and eat their tents, eat everything they had.
Yeah.
When the grasshoppers left, they probably didn't hardly have any clothes on. They ate everything. I don't know how they got away from there. Of course, they had a team and wagon, I suppose.
I can't think of any other questions.
No, I think that about wraps it up for me.
I've enjoyed this because it kind of brings some more out of me that I know. Somebody will remind me of it.
Well, you know, I feel like that we need to, we don't mean to just dwell it with our children and grandchildren, but we need to let them know that that's part of our heritage and how we made it through.
Oh, I have discussed it with my great-grandchildren, and Chauncey, he just can't believe that we went through that. And my granddaughter, Lacey, she said her daddy was stationed in Dayton, Ohio at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And she said, Ganny, all of my school wants to know what a tumbleweed is. I said, well, honey, I can't bring one on the plane unless your daddy comes after. And now, see, she lives in Altus, Oklahoma. They got transferred over there. So now she can't wait to get to Boy City and take some tumbleweeds home and paint them.
You know,
she just thought that was
some of our neighbors.
But you can't
at Christmas
bed. She
time
can put little lights on them, great big tumbleweeds.
Big tumbleweed outside.
Put in a corner and they're
on
beautiful.
Spray them.
Spray them? Yeah.
Most of you knew Mercedes Berry, and you know, she was a very good teacher. And in their school over at Keys, something about the early day and the tumbleweed. And the little kids decided it would be real nice. They could bring some tumbleweeds in, and they would make their own Christmas tree out of tumbleweeds. Well, she was to furnish them. They were going to spray them. And she was to furnish the spray, and she laughed, and she said that was...
That was the most expensive Christmas tree I ever bought. Took a lot of spray. They brought in a great big one.
Well, Lacey took that one book that, was it Norma Jean that has that book on the Dust Bowl?
She has written several books, I think. Okay,
she sent one to Jill, my daughter. Uh-huh. Well, Lacey took it to school, and she read it to the whole class, and she said they just sat there, didn't know what to say. Yeah. So they asked her some questions. Well, of course, she didn't know too much.
Yeah.
And so Jill said, Mom, when you come out here, I want you to go to the school with me. So I got to talk to Mr. Beaver about it, her teacher, and they just thought it was great that they read that book. She read the book to them.
Well, for participating in this interview today, each of you would get a typed copy of the transcript of the tape of our conversation. And so then each of you will have that. You'll have your own copy. And then Phyllis Randolph here at the museum will have a copy of each of the interviews that we did. And so that you will have that. You'll have a copy. She'll have a copy. And the tape and a copy will be at the library at Oklahoma State. So that so that people can read it and use it and know what happened.
My little grandson from California, he'll be interested in that. The Kathy's youngest one. He says, Grandma Louise, I forget what you call her. She grew up way, way out in the country.
Yeah, my great grand.
They just love my boys. They're here,
Let's go to Kitten where Ganny was born. I want to see. Well, the house isn't there anymore, but they want to know all about the Black Mesa and all that, so I have to explain to them.
Well, if any of you, after you get home today or in the next couple of weeks, think of a story that you wish you would have told us, but you didn't. Feel free to contact Phyllis Randolph or Norma Jean Young, and they can pass a message to us, and we can call you so you don't have to pay a long-distance call, so we can add that in with the stuff you've already given us.
Norma Jean and I have always been real good friends. We were neighbors, and our dads played clarinets, and that's what the way they entertained themselves on Sunday afternoon. A group of them would get together, and my mother played the piano, and we played outside.
That was fun. Yeah.
I remember all of that. And I remember her mother real well. Good friend of my mom's, and she knows my mother, or she knew my mother. And I know Tracy's brother, Frank. And Tracy. Miss Fredshaw. I know them all.
I don't think I have anything else to ask you, so.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Doing all this.
Inviting us.